The following program is brought to you by Podcast One. Recorded live backstage, this is Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Now here's your host, Rory O'Malley.
Hey there, Rory O'Malley here, your host for the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, brought to you by Podcast One. My guest this week is William Jackson Harper. You know him, you love him as Chidi on The Good Place. He is such a great actor, and he has so many great stories about being in theater, off-Broadway and on-Broadway, and his story of how he got The Good Place is pretty incredible. He is such a fantastic guy. We talk a lot about how he survived as an actor to get to that point. And now he's blowing up. You can see him everywhere now. He is not just on The Good Place. He is also in a movie called Midsommar. I think I'm saying that right, but I'm not going to see it because I'm scared. I'm very scared of that movie. I'm scared of all scary movies, and I hear it's great. And also, he is in a movie called Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo. He'll be in Jack Ryan with John Krasinski. He is everywhere, and he's a fantastic guy with a really incredible story. Loved having him on the podcast. Here's my conversation with William Jackson Harper. Hi, William.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being on the Geffen Playhouse.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. I've gotten to do a lot of interviews with people. I'm very fortunate to get to talk to a lot of cool folks. But I know for a fact that my friends, when they find out that I got to sit down with you and have a conversation with you, they are going to be so excited because The Good Place, and your character specifically, Chidi, has the greatest, most devoted fans on television right now.
I did not know.
I firmly believe that. I think that, especially because the show is just so perfectly put together, and you've just announced it's the fourth and final season coming up. There's a lot of anticipation. You guys have always brought everyone on such crazy journeys, and it's such a high concept of a show, and it always nails it. And your character is so fantastic. I know I'm going to have a lot of questions that they're going to be like, why didn't you ask him this? Why didn't you ask him that? So I'm just like already letting myself off the hook, and okay, I'm going to enjoy our conversation here.
Yeah, man. Relax. Everything's fine.
Everything's good.
Everything's fine.
What does it feel like to be starting the end of a journey of something that really has changed TV in a time that there's so much content and so many things out? It's hard for anything to stand out. What does it feel like to be a part of The Good Place?
I just feel like incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
It's really sad to be at the end. Honestly, I'm going to miss working with this group of people every day. You know, like that's the thing that I'm going to miss. It's like, you know, when you close a play, it's like, you know, you've spent, you know, 8 to 10 weeks together, and you know, you'll run into each other again at that next audition room and like, hey, remember that when we did that show, or you know, whatever. And you know, some people you may maintain contact with and some people you may not, but you know, it's just that 8 to 10 weeks, you know.
Right.
And I think that revisiting this character and being with this group of people, you know, for like 4 to 5 months every year for the past 4 years, it's a much stronger bond, you know.
And so like that's huge. And because and you know, it's going to be different for Ted Danson, who has said goodbye to the cast of Cheers, you
right.
know, like
yeah.
he knows what it means, and what, you know, it's certainly very special to him.
Yeah.
But for you, this show is such a big deal because it's really introduced you to so much of the world.
Yeah.
Even though you've had so much experience before on stage and in front of camera, but this is a very different, unique experience for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, I don't think you're ever really prepared for these kinds of goodbyes. I imagine that every time you're just sort of like, ah, wow, this is,
right.
you know, this sucks. And I hope that, you know, we can stay in contact. I mean, I'm notoriously bad at that. So, you know, I'm you know, trying to, you know, this is my new task, I guess, is to get better at that so I get to keep this group of people in my life.
It's hard, though, because, like, when you leave a show, especially, like, a play, and you know you've got to get, you've got to find the new group of actors to bond with. You've got to move on.
Right.
You know, I try not to be too emotional leaving, too, because you can't go back.
No. No.
And you've got to find that new tribe of, of creators, and you can't hold on to the past.
With new dynamics and, you know, new expectations. Yeah, you kind of got to let all that go and throw yourself into the new energy.
Right.
And, you know, that's also what's exciting about what we do. But, I mean, but it is, I guess, you know, this is the longest I've spent with any character that I've played.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a much more significant shift this time.
Yeah.
You know,
while your show, you know, it's ending after four seasons, if you all and the creators wanted it to, because it has such a huge following, it could go on for 10, but clearly there's a story being told here. It's lean, and they know what they know where they wanted to land. And that's why it's such a great show.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say goodbye, but no one's going to milk it for more than what the story deserves.
Right.
But you touched on this. It's the longest you've ever played a character. When you're doing a play, you're doing it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You, with this, you're seeing new scripts over years, seeing a character, Chidi, which is such a fantastic, fun guy to play.
Yeah.
What was it like discovering who he was along with the writers over that long period of time?
Well, you know, it's I just trust our writers so completely.
Pretty good.
They're really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, it was a lot of fun just because, like, we would get new scripts and sort of go on the same ride that the audience is going on.
You know,
we don't get, like, three or four at a time and know exactly where we're headed. It's one of those things where, you know, we're getting ready to have a table read and a new script drops and we all just immediately consume it because we're just so curious about what's going on.
Right.
So it's been, you know, it's the strangest thing to not know from the beginning where your character is headed.
Or where you really are.
Or where you really are. You know,
I mean, that it's so rare for a comedy to have spoilers.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
there's
totally.
Like, I'm like, how much do we talk about? Because people are going to be watching this show on streaming devices for so, so long. It's like, you don't want to ruin a good movie because this is what this is. It's such a good story. And so I can imagine at some point you get a script and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, totally. I mean, often, you know, very, very often. But it's, you know, it's really interesting. You know, because I there's a part of me that as an artist wants to know exactly where I'm headed so I can calibrate things, you know, a little bit more completely.
And know who your character is and, while you're inhabiting him.
Right. You know, and like, where do I want to lay this, you know, sort of layer in this aspect of the character that comes out later.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's like when you're working on something like this where it's coming to you, you know, in pieces. You just have to trust that the writers know what they're doing, which our writers absolutely did. And it's also kind of fun because you just like kind of give yourself over to the moment.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little bit easier to not play the end at the beginning, which is a very easy trap for me as an actor. Yeah. In a play, it's like something that I, you know, whenever I'm in a process, I get reminded of, like, pretty often. It's just like, we're not there yet, so pull back. And it's like, right, okay, yeah. You know, and so so there's aspects of it that are sometimes a little bit more freeing.
Yeah.
Because you're just, you know what you know, and that's it.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that not knowing where we were in the beginning of the first season, honestly, probably helped.
Yeah.
Because the characters didn't know.
Yeah.
And it also stopped us from getting, you know, well, I won't speak for everyone, but it stopped me from just getting a little too cute with my choices, you know?
Sure.
Everything was just honest. And then, you know, you get sort of smacked in the face with this paradigm shift. And you're just like, oh, okay, right on.
Yeah. I mean, that must have been, I'm not going to spoil it for people, but they should know it by now, at least the first one. But like, What was that like when you had that change? How you just found out by reading a script, or did they call everyone and say, actually, you thought this is what the show was?
They, okay, so we were shooting one day. I think we were in Beverly Hills, and like what it was going to be Tahani's Mansion or something like that. Yeah. And it was near the end of the first season, and Mike Schur called us all in. And was like, you know, we need to meet with all you guys. And I just thought, it's like, you know, like, okay, so we're all a bunch of relative newbies to this world, and we're not cutting it, and we're about to get a talking to. You know, that's what I was thinking about what it was going to be.
You thought it was the director of the play calling and you're like, stop guys, talking so loudly backstage.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I thought we were all, we were getting called to the principal's office a little bit. And, and then they were like, okay, so, you know, this is what's going to happen, and this is where you are, and this is how the first season ends. And it was just sort of like, you know, it was crazy. And it made me, you know, it made more things make sense.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was relieved to hear that there was such a big swing being taken, because I wondered about how a show like this could continue.
Right. You know, how do you keep the ball in the air?
How do you keep the ball in the air
for more than a season?
Yeah. You know, I was like, how do we do that? And then with that shift, it was like, oh, we've got the entire universe open to us at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like we're riding ourselves into a very, very weird corner that we have to like fight our way out of, which is exactly what's happened over the last four seasons.
It's incredible how well you've all done that by keeping everyone engaged. And I think another part that's so impressive to me is these are sometimes really tricky subjects, afterlife, you know, religion, you know, philosophy. And it never feels like it's pushing anyone away. It always keeps people, it stays light and funny. It's always a comedy first. You know what I mean? It's never preaching.
Absolutely.
It's never, has it ever gotten to a script or something where you're like, oh, we're getting into too deep of a discussion here about this or what your character would do? Do you ever get too far into the weeds in the philosophy or the spiritual aspect of things?
I do.
I mean,
because I definitely, you know, that is my character's
That's true.
You know, job in the show is to sort of like, you know, carry the lessons, you know, to the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
But I guess our writers do such a good job of distilling all of that down and making it something that is very accessible. Because I've tried to read some of the texts that I cite and that I teach in the show, and I can't get very far, you know, because it's really dense stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of exceptions and, you know, these theorems, and I'm just like, I kind of need to keep it simple, because, you know, I still, at the end of the day, I have to set up my castmates and land the jokes that I have. And that's the most important thing. And if I go too far into the weeds with the philosophy stuff, you know, I start to move away from being a good scene partner.
Right.
And some people maybe are like really good at multitasking in that way. I haven't quite figured that out with this character.
Yeah.
So I kind of need to, you know, keep it simple. Like, and it's, thankfully it's in the scripts. It's laid out pretty effectively and completely. And, in a way that, you know, us, you know, sort of laymen can sort of just pick it up.
No, it's kind of a magic trick what you guys do, you
know,
because it's up to the writers to have a full understanding of what they're talking about in terms of the philosophy. And it's up to you to make it pretty and funny and communicate it. And it's just done so well. And that's why it keeps surprising an audience that's so devoted to it. And it's going to live on for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it's clearly changed your life. You are a very, very busy man.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a lot of great things going on. And And looking at some of your interviews that you've done, I knew I was going to get along with you because as an actor, what you said was, someone said, how are you doing? You're like, I have a job. I'm great. And you said, like that, yeah. That to me is because you are an actor who, you know, call it paying your dues, calling it whatever it is, you know what you have right now.
Yeah.
And that is such a gift because so many times we never know when things are going to happen in our career, if at all.
Right.
And sometimes it happens when you're 22 years old and you're given this really cool thing. And you're like, oh, I guess that's what happens when you're 22 years old.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's handed to you. You have a moment right now that is so fantastic. And you are clearly, you have a gratitude that is letting you experience it in a wonderful way.
I mean,
in every interview I've read with you, you talk about your relationship with theater, and you said at one point that it's like it can be a toxic relationship.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
You're speaking my language, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about your time doing off-Broadway theater and what your life was like before The Good Place?
Well, I mean, you know, I was, you know, sort of the... you know, your average workaday actor, you know, I was able to go from show to show, which that's a privilege, you know, to go from show to show, in New York and doing off Broadway shows and stuff like that. That's a unique privilege that I had. And I don't want to negate that in any way,
no.
But I think that, you know, it's hard to live in New York, you know?
Absolutely.
It's really expensive and, you know, theater doesn't really meet the bar when it comes to, like, how you, right. you know, what you need to live.
It's an honor to do Shakespeare at the Public Theater, which you did, but it's not what's going to, you know, pay for your children's college education
no,
one
no,
day.
No, 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 no. You will...
It's for the love. You
know, so, yeah, for me it was, you know, I was just, like, sort of in my mid-30s and... You know, I lived with a great group of guys in Brooklyn. I mean, like, we really sort of, like, propped each other up. We were all going through
all
a lot of that. No, no.
Okay.
You know, one guy actually studied political science, and his name was Brooks. He was, but he was just sort of doing everything that he could. And there was a guy that worked in production. There was a couple of guys that worked in production, had a production company. I mean, it was like everyone was sort of really, you know, pushing to get to the next level. And... So, you know, that was really great. You know, that was, having people that were really serious about what they were doing, even though they weren't, you know, even though the world wasn't necessarily like just coming at them with all the opportunities and all of the means by which to sustain themselves, you know, they took the work seriously and were very honest with it. And so, it was great, but also, you know, I worried that, is this what my life is going to be? Will there be no more changes from here on out? And, you know, as much as I love doing theater, I got tired of being on stage and sort of like thinking to myself, okay, like after I get this last check, will I make rent next month?
Right.
You know, like, how long are, okay. Like, you know, thinking about the waiting week before you get your unemployment, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of like, I need something different. I would like to have some semblance of stability.
Because when you're young and you have that dream of being a working actor, you don't think, oh, even when you're working, you have to worry about the unemployment weeks.
Right.
And, you know, like you think you're either you've made it or you didn't. But you realize that even when you've made it and you're doing what you love, you still have to start all over again every time that job ends.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that can be a really difficult thing to come to terms with.
It's really taxing. And so, I was, you know, honestly, before The Good Place, I considered stopping. It always sounded a little bit more dire whenever I've talked about it in interviews because it's like, I think people think like, oh, you'll never be on stage again or never do another job or whatever. It was just more like, this isn't going to be the center of my life anymore.
Right.
This is going to be a thing that I do because I enjoy doing it when I want to do it, not because I have to get a job in order to survive. And so...
You also likened it to an addiction at one point, and that is exactly how I see it.
Yeah,
you know, you can't quit being an actor ever.
No.
It's always going to be in your blood, and you're going to have to manage your way through it. But you can make it not be your be
the be all end all. Yeah. You know, and I think I was like starting to tie up a lot of my self worth in whether or not I was working.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's not good.
No.
Because this industry is brutal and, you know, nonlinear. And mm-hmm. so, if everything that you are is tied up in this one thing that is really unforgiving in a lot of ways, it's, it can do a number on you. And that's sort of where I was. And, you know, I think every actor has this talk with themselves of like, am I quitting this year? Am I quitting this week? Am I quitting this month? Am I quitting today? You know,
and the afternoon.
Yeah. And then, you know, I every time I had that talk with myself, like previous to this moment, I'd you know, the thought of stopping felt like a loss. It felt like I was, you know, something that like I was going to mourn not having this be the center of my life anymore. And the last time I had that talk with myself, it was, you know, like I felt free. I actually felt okay with the idea of like, you know, it's like I'll do it when I want to do it, and I'll do something else in the meantime. And and so it's sort of that sort of taking all the weight off of I need to get a job to be like rather to have the energy of I really enjoy being in this room because I'm this is sort of a goodbye tour, you know, like just so I'm just, you know, it sort of shifted my energy to just I'm just present. I'm just enjoying getting to do this. And because if I don't get it, it doesn't mean that, you know, rent isn't paid. It's not like I don't need to, you know, I don't have to figure out what's next. It's like, okay, well, you know, that audition didn't work out. So I'm going to, you know, I'll go back to my job, whatever that was going to be, you know?
Yeah. There's something interesting now because, you know, I think that every actor, if they're lucky to have a really cool job that kind of changes thing or to, you know, how a big job that changes, you know, your auditions and gets you a lot of attention. If you get to have that, there's a moment where you think, oh, shit, I can't do something else now. Like, you know, I know what you're talking about. There was always that moment where I was like, oh, I could always I can go to law school. Like that was going to be easier. You know, like go to law school, that'll be easy. That'll be a way out. But there's this moment where you have this a success where you're like, well, guess this is the best option now.
Yeah.
You know, like for you now, like your best financial option is to keep going as an actor.
Keep going. Yeah.
You know, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's amazing to get to have that feeling that it's not this wild decision you're making every day to be an actor.
Right. This is, it is a luxury.
Yeah.
To be able to, to not worry about next month all the time, mm-hmm. but also to have the thing you love also be the thing that sustains you.
Right.
And, you know, and this is the best option that I have at this point. And that's great because I really don't want to do anything else.
Right.
You know, I mean, like as a career, you know, I don't want to just not act, you know, I don't want to do that. I never really wanted to stop entirely. That, you know, the idea was always to sort of just not have it be the middle of everything, you know?
No, I've seen interviews where you talked about it before, and it's a good headline to be like, he was about to stop acting forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. You just didn't have it being in control of your every thought about how you're happy. You open yourself up to more.
Yeah.
What about your family? Were they supportive of you going into the arts early on or being an actor?
Yeah. Absolutely. My mom actually made me take theater classes in the seventh grade because I was, you know, I was kind of a shy kid, and you know, she really wanted me to sort of come out of that. And So I, you know, started doing them, and, you know, in my head it was always, you know, like wearing pumpkin pants and tights and down on one knee and professing your love. And I'm like, that's corny. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking some theater classes actually sort of showed me how wrong I was. You know,
This is in Dallas.
This is in Dallas, or actually in a suburb of Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was just able to, you know, improvise, be funny, do all sorts of, like, you know, weird things that I actually enjoy. And it soon became the thing that I was, the only thing that made me feel special, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just sort of had a little bit of a knack for it. And, it was a thing that made me feel, like, exceptional in some way. Because I was, you know, average student, like, terrible at sports. You know, I was just sort of just average in every
being terrible at sports
way.
Gets a lot of people into theater, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or people are great at sports and they have to make a choice. And then they're like, I like this other thing more.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the thing for me. It was just
when did
sort of,
you decide that it was what you were going to do for a living or your dream?
Well, I always, like, all through high school, it was like, this is a thing that I do for fun. Eventually, I will figure out what I have to do for life.
I'll get serious
at some point. And, I auditioned for, colleges at the Texas State Thespian Festival.
Oh, sure.
And, you know,
I think I had a brochure. I grew up in Ohio, but I'm sure I had a brochure.
I'm sure that at every state thespian festival, the schools go and, you know, you get to audition. And I was like, you know, I'll just do it for fun and, you know, see how this goes. And, you know, then I got into, the College of Santa Fe, which is, you know, no longer exists. But I got in there, and even when I was there, I was like, well, I'll do this. And, you know, eventually maybe I'll switch majors. But, you know, it's like, I'm going to keep riding this as long as the scholarship money is there, and this is something that seems to be yielding results.
Right.
And it just kind of kept yielding results. But then beyond that, that's where I became, like, truly addicted. It's where I really, like, learned how to do the work, and it became something I was, like, just really obsessed with. And so, like, you know, I want to say it was in college when I was like, I think this is what I'm going to do. Oh, crap. This is what I'm going to do, you know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, seeing people, like, seeing actors who weren't famous but who were working, you know, that would come back and talk to us, or having guest artists show up every now and again. And it was like, okay, so, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a regular on a TV show or a movie star to actually have this be your career. You know, there's other options. And I always wanted to do stage just because it was just more fun for me. Mm-hmm. It's just a much more hands-on experience. You know, so you're on stage and you're in charge of that experience for that audience, you know, every single night. And you're in the room and you're asking questions. You're trying to find that inevitable yet unexpected way to get to the end of the scene. And, you know, so it's like, I really love doing that and really teasing everything out. So I was like, oh, I'm seeing these other actors that are able to make it. So it's like, I can do it. I can do what they're doing. And so I was like, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot for a little while. And,
you moved to New York?
I moved back to Texas, for a couple of years, and I actually got my equity card there.
Oh, nice. That's smart.
Yeah.
I think everyone tries to move to New York and get their equity card there, and it's actually...
It's so hard.
It's hard to do it there.
It's really hard.
I got mine here.
You did?
Yeah. I went to L.A. and did theater.
What was that? What was the show that you got on?
I did a reading of a new musical called It Came From Beyond. It was a musical, and it was like sci-fi in the 50s, and everyone in it was union except for me. So I don't know.
You just like...
Which is how I got into SAG. I could only get in plays out here.
Right.
So after a year of paying my dues as a union stage actor, then I got into SAG because you can go into that.
Yeah.
After, so.
Oh man.
That was my plan. Was just do theater in Los Angeles. Not everybody has that plan. But
there's a lot of theater out here, though.
There's a lot, like the Geffen Playhouse.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of people taking risks in smaller spaces and creating new stuff, which is, you know, what I love.
Yeah.
Especially then.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't pay anything whatsoever.
Oh no, I understand.
But you got your equity card in Texas, mm-hmm. and then you made your way to New York. Did you go with a job, or were you like, I'm going? Let's see what happens.
It was just time to go.
Time to go.
Yeah, I really loved the scene in Dallas. I really enjoy being there.
Yeah.
I've made a lot of good friends, and there's a lot of really talented people there. And it was hard. It was really hard to leave. But you know, I just knew that in order to sort of create all the new work that I wanted to be a part of and to sort of give myself a chance at my career growing beyond just that scene, I kind of had to go to either New York or L.A., and I thought that L.A. was just going to eat me alive, and so New York was much more my vibe, and also it was like it's the branded theater town, you know, and that's, sure. I'm like, okay, so just went there and, you know, pounded the pavement for 3 years before I got my first, like, real off-Broadway contract where I got, like, a weekly paycheck, which was, like, $300 or something like that, right. But it was... You know, it was the world to me. You know, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm an actor in New York, you know. Right. And, you know, yes, it was just did, you know, show after show after show after show after show. And, you know.
Including All the Way with Bryan Cranston on Broadway, which I saw, which was phenomenal. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That was an epic 3 hour, like, ensemble show with a huge star in the center, but all of you coming together, playing all these different characters, and it was incredible. Was that a great experience for you? Or?
That was an amazing experience. I mean, like, you know, Bryan Cranston's pretty good at acting.
Pretty good.
But also, there's a lot of, we had a lot of actors that I've seen before that, you know, like James Eckhouse and...
Yeah.
Michael McKean was, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. all these, you know, Johnny Phillips, like these really like great actors that I've grown up seeing, you know, all in this show. And then there's like a bunch of, you know, guys that I had, you know, sort of that I, well, you know, there's this one actor, Peter J. Fernandez, who he's one of those guys that did theater and I kept seeing his name in all the, you know, the scripts that I would pick up at the drama bookshop or something.
Yeah.
I'd seen him on TV and stuff like that. And he was like that, he was that actor for me, you know, like that actor that was like, now that's a career that I would like to have, you know, like I would like to have, you know, like he does the TV, he does the movies, he does all those things, but he also does a ton of plays and he's a killer. He's just, he's incredible at it. And, you know, it was amazing. We were dressing room mates, and it was just, like, amazing to, you know, be in the room with this guy that is, like, yeah, like, you're the guy that I read about in college, you know? Like, that's amazing, you know? So it was an amazing experience. I had a blast doing it. And it's also the subject matter was something I could really get behind. It's the kind of thing that I really, really get excited about. And it's incredibly dense. It's very thorny, asks a lot of hard questions.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
that's
not, what I'm into. It's not a pretty picture of, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah. And it was on Broadway.
It's honest.
It's a straight historical drama on Broadway.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that I just never thought I would get that kind of opportunity. You know?
Right, right. But you did that. You pretty, was that... Right before you got The Good Place?
That was a couple years before.
So that's kind of that time where you're like, maybe, you know, if you do something like All the Way and then you're like, okay, back to figuring out what I have to do next. It's
right.
Like that's when it's hardest.
Right.
You know, when you go back to, all right, let me pound the pavement to figure out what my next job is. So you kind of let go of what it is. You get The Good Place.
Yeah.
It's an amazing journey. Obviously, it's awesome and you love it so much. Now you have options. You have things that are being brought to you probably and, you know, things that you're like, oh, I want to see about being a part of that. How do you go from having gratitude, being so grateful for whatever comes your way to making decisions, making the choices when things are brought to you and after something like The Good Place?
It's tough. I mean, like I still haven't figured it out. I mean, you know, it's, it's not like the auditioning goes away, you know?
No.
But it's in, cause I still have to, you know,
all your acting friends are like, oh, you don't have to audition anymore.
Like,
it's not
yeah,
hard.
I
no,
yeah. yeah, I do. And, I think the thing that is, the main difference though is, I don't go into a room thinking that this will be the last opportunity I have to get a job that I think is really cool. You know, when you're first starting out, it's, you know, you're like, there's only a few of those that come along once every year, if that, you know. And, you know, you may be in that position where you're, like, doing a lot of, like, off-Broadway plays, which is still, like, you know, amazing. But it's, you know, you're looking for that sort of life-changing job. And now I get to swing for those more often, which means that I go in a little bit more relaxed. I think that, you know, when I had those opportunities before, there was just so much riding on it. Like, I have to do this now. This has to be the job.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to get another chance, you know, for a very long time. And
a lot of times people think that the hardest part about being an actor must be the rejection. You just keep going on auditions and you get out there and you're like, I would kill for an audition. Yeah, I want to get in that room. I would love to be rejected.
Yeah. It's like people think that, people do think that you just go into auditions every single day.
Yeah.
And you're trying, you have all these opportunities before you at any given time and it's just not working out or you're just not good enough. It's like, no. There's like a lot of people just don't get those shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I'm really lucky that, you know, I happen to fit the part on this show at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was one of the few shots that I got and I got it and it went my way. But it's not that way. It's not like you're, you know, always auditioning for several really cool series regulars or movie leads all the time. It's like one or two lines here, one or two lines there that you might audition for, but it's really rare when those really big opportunities come.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, so for me at that, when I was, you know, doing a lot of the off-Broadway stuff, I was like really tight, you know, it was just very much like, I have to get it. I have to. And now it's, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm not a completely unknown entity or quantity at this moment, you know? And so there will be more opportunities if this one doesn't shake out. And then I just get to enjoy being in the room. I actually get to enjoy preparing the sides and doing the scene. And it's not about, you know, nailing it. It's about trying to give the performance I want to give and seeing if they're interested. And if they are, great. And if they aren't, at least I went in and gave the performance that I wanted to give.
Right.
And that, you know, that's great. It's great to be able to just walk out of a room and just throw your sides in the trash and just be like, all right, you know, I did what I did, and either they're in it or they're into it or they're not.
Right. Well, and it's also the gift of a huge show like this, which has, you know, shown so many different sides of your talent and what you can do. You've been able to prove not just to the industry or the world, but to yourself, I can do this. Like, I can do this. So your self-worth isn't going to be left behind in an audition.
Right.
It's not up to them.
No, it's not.
So, but you've gotten to do a lot of really cool projects. So, well, let's talk about what you're doing before we leave here. You have a movie that's out now called Midsommar. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't seen it yet. I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
It's about all I can do right now until I can watch it at home.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw Hereditary in the theater. That was a mistake for me. I want you to know, like, that's not a Rory film, but not in public because I screech a lot. I make a lot of noises, and I made a lot of noises at that one. So I want to see that in the privacy of my home.
Fair enough.
It's a scary film. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's about a couple who are, our lead has just gone through a really intense personal tragedy, her boyfriend is trying to be there as best he can, but he's also a student who's studying anthropology and is taking this trip, and that we wind up going all as a group to Sweden to study this very small community.
A bunch of people all whiter than me, which I did not think was possible.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All yeah. And they have a very particular sort of religious tradition.
Yeah.
And things sort of take off from there.
Right.
Yeah. And it is like a psychedelic nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I do encourage you to watch it because it is sort of in that vein of sort of The Wicker Man. I don't know if you saw that.
Edward
Woodward 1970 72, 73.
I've avoided a lot of scary films. But what I will tell you is that my husband forces me to see them all. So no, don't worry. I will definitely be seeing it. And what I can say is that even though I don't enjoy the experience, I think that I appreciate scary films more than anyone because I believe what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more scared than anyone. And I have a lot of appreciation for the art form. And I think that Hereditary was one of the scariest experiences of my life. It happened to me.
Oh, yeah. No, so, I had just seen Hereditary before I got the audition for Midsommar. And I was like, then, you know, Midsommar came in. I was like, oh, I really want to do this. Yeah. I would really like to do this. This is a very interesting, strange
Certainly
script.
Going to be different from The Good Place, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of similarities just in terms of like a religious something. But I mean, the tone, I'm sure it's scarier than I'm ready to handle, but I'm going to do it. Don't worry. You also are in Jack Ryan. Have you started filming that yet?
I've shot it all.
You've shot it all?
Yeah.
When does it come out?
I feel like November.
Okay. So soon.
Yeah. I think in November. I could be wrong about that. But but that was, you know, I'm a very small part of a very big machine.
Sure.
That's something where they go from location to location. If they're in Russia, they're actually shooting in Russia. If they're in South America, they're actually shooting there. And so, you know, all my stuff was in New York and, it was a fun little excursion.
Yeah.
You know, and New York is where I live. It was fun to just sort of like, you know, sometimes I just ride my bike to work. You know, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
What do you think about New York versus L.A.? Like now that you've worked so much in Los Angeles, and do you still – you will always consider New York your home base?
I think I will.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like being out here.
Yeah.
I haven't found the community of people doing theater out here that does this sort of thing that I do in New York when I'm in between jobs, which is just like doing a lot of readings and workshops and stuff like that. I know it exists. I just, you know, I just haven't fallen into that community out here yet. And so, you know, New York is sort of my home base and that's where my artistic community is for the most part and where my artistic home is. And so I think that's where I'll be.
And you've also expanded who you are as an artist more by writing. You wrote a play called Travisville.
Yeah.
Is that right? And that's about the civil rights experience in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't call it Dallas because I take a lot of liberties, but, I didn't want it to be a thing where like, oh, this actually happened. It's like, no. I mean, you know, this is different.
Sure.
It is sort of inspired by, events in Dallas in the mid to late 60s.
Okay. What was that like writing a play and having people see it?
That ate my lunch in all the ways.
Yeah.
You know, like I had an incredible cast, incredible director, incredible support at Ensemble Studio Theater. I guess the pressure is, when you have that many good people working on something, if something isn't working, it feels like it's your fault.
Right.
You know? And that was something that was really tough to sort of wrap my mind around and be like, you know, like, is this really how I want this play to go? Is this how I want this scene to go? Does this character's arc make any sense? And, you know, thankfully I had a lot of really smart actors who asked me tons of questions and kept me honest.
Right.
And a director that, you know, would hop on the phone with me when I was, because I was actually shooting Midsommar at the same time when this was going on, so I didn't get to be in the room very much.
Oh, wow.
And would just spend hours on the phone with me, sort of walking through stuff. And I know he felt abandoned. I feel bad, you know, but I mean, he did a great job. And, you know, we landed on something that I'm really proud of. And I hope that, you know, the cast and the director and all the designers feel really proud of it too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just in the little bit of writing that I've done, I think because when you're on the other side of things as an actor and you have somebody hand you a script and you're like, okay, I know what I can do here and I feel really confident in my abilities, when you're the one handing the script to other people, it's just got to be so scary. I've handed a script to myself and said things, but I've never handed it to somebody else. And I think the vulnerability as an artist at that point is just off the charts.
It's out there. It's something that I don't know if I'll do that again, but I mean, it's, you know, I do sort of enjoy just creating a world and you know, playing with characters and seeing what they do and changing what they do if it doesn't make sense to me, you know, whereas, you know, as an actor, you have a roadmap and you have to figure it out. It's like a puzzle you have to put together or something. But, you know, when you're sort of making the puzzle or drawing the map, it's really fun and it can be really fulfilling, especially when you, you know, find yourself surprised by what the characters are doing, you know, and you happen upon something that's really truthful and interesting.
Yeah. It's making you a stronger actor too, to be able to play in that playground.
I really hope so. You know, I really hope so.
It's a lot of respect for your writers of whatever show you're.
Oh yeah. A ton.
You also have a movie coming out with Mark Ruffalo called Dark Waters. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's the story of this corporate defense attorney who actually winds up prosecuting a company who that has been poisoning the water in this West Virginia town for decades. And so it's something that's really important to me. I feel like it's a really riveting story. I remember I got home when I got the script at like 2 a.m. and I figured I'd read 10 or 15 pages and then I'd just, you know, pass out and read the rest in the morning. And I just stayed up until 5 a.m. or 4:30, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just jammed through the whole thing because it was just that interesting. And the subject matter is something that's really, really really, really important and really, really personal.
It's very relevant, especially right now. It's something that everybody needs to see.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it is about, you know, the cost of actually trying to affect some kind of change and how vigilant and persistent you have to be in order to do that. And it's just beautifully written. The cast is amazing. I can't believe that I got to be in the room with them. And so I'm really, really excited for that one to come out and for people to see it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a lot coming out. You've got the fourth and final season of The Good Place.
Yeah.
You've got Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
This fall and Midsommar playing at my living room, me under lots of blankets, scared for my life. You've got so many great things happening to you right now. And let me just tell you, as a fellow actor, you deserve them all. I think that your story is so incredible. And I'm so happy that you're writing and performing on stages, because clearly you are going to be a part of the theater world no matter what great things happen to you and TV and film. And that's fantastic.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I really hope to get back on stage at some point. You know, just waiting for the, you know, for the right thing. You know, like my friend Kui Nguyen is actually, you know, doing a show, I believe, here at the Geffen, like Revenge Song, right?
Oh, okay.
And it's you know, it's like I couldn't do it for scheduling reasons, but it was, you know, it was like one of those things that I mean, it's like working with him and like being in the room with artists like that is like, there's just no replacement for it.
No.
And so, yeah.
You'll get on a stage, you're an addict.
Yeah, I am.
You're a fellow addict.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
That was William Jackson Harper. Thank you so much for listening to the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, tell all your friends about the conversations we're having here backstage at the Geffen. And see you next time on the Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, brought to you by Podcast One.
Thanks for listening to Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to download new episodes every month right here on Podcast One, on the Podcast One app, or on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.